Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Good morning, good afternoon, happy Monday, December 16th, 2024, halfway through the last month of 2024. It is time to build some specific skills related to AI today. We're here with Mike Tedasco, writing books and publishing books in record speed. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Chris. I'm looking forward to teaching somebody, teaching folks about all the good and the plenty of bad that comes with AI writing.
Excellent. We're excited to have you. At the very least, you'll be teaching us about this publishing part. We talk about our own books all the time, and we hope that there's a takeaway today. I know there will be for those watching that. You know, half the time when we talk about AI tools, it's the difference between, you know, creative works or even professional works existing or not existing. A lot of times we try to redirect the conversation away from replacement and more about just enablement.
Look, and I concur. I mean, these are tools to help us be more effective. You know, for those of us who don't have access to a co-writer or an editor or a proofreader or whatever it might be, this is a way to get to that. And it ain't good as a human. It could be a lot faster, but it's a lot cheaper. And again, not everyone has the luxury. I'm working on a book project where I actually do have the luxury of having an editor. And you know what? It's awesome. But I work on a lot of other things, like my blog posts. I don't have somebody edit that. I have AI help me with that. We can talk about all that stuff today.
Yeah, so we'll spend a little bit of time just talking about writing process in general, and then we'll get into some live demonstrations, which we definitely love doing that on here. But George, as we started talking about having Mike on, what was the first question about using AI for writing that kind of popped into your head?
Yeah, well, the first one and the one that I now have are two totally different things, but I will go with the one that I had first, and that is, how do we get it to write in a more human way? And when I say that, understanding that I'm literally asking it to write as Mike T or George B or Chris C, right? Like, how do we hone that into existence?
So here's what I would say. Like, Claude, are you all familiar with Claude? For me as a writer, that's probably my favorite tool that I use by far. There is a new feature that they actually have in Claude where it will actually learn your writing style and be able to more closely mimic your own writing. And this is similar, like, I'm sure everybody's done the thing of, like, give me a Shakespearean sonnet about Darth Vader when he has a cold. Or whatever, and it'll do something amazing like that. Or then you could say, like, okay, now write it like Ernest Hemingway. Now write it like this. Like there is some level of mimicry that it can do. I will say, in playing with Claude, which is probably the best model for at least short form writing and capturing your voice, even then, it doesn't do it exactly. And here's why, and here's what's going on. I am no expert in Shakespeare. So if I ask for a Darth Vader catching a cold Shakespearean sonnet, I read this thing, and you know what? I'm like, well, that seems pretty good, because you know what? I don't have expertise in that area. And while it might get like 70% of it, in my naive mind, it's getting 100%. I'm sure if you get somebody who works at the Globe up in London or whatever the hell his theater place was, who's, you know, studied this their whole life, they will look at that and say, like, what is this? This isn't right. This isn't close. And therefore, it's the same kind of thing. You've been writing as you your whole life. And so for it to actually get your tone and all that right, it's really damn hard for you. Like, you could give it to a stranger and be like, oh yeah, that sounds like you maybe or whatnot. But like, to really get yourself right, it's not going to quite get there. It can do corporate speak generally well, but like, these are all generic middle of the road type stuff. If you're really trying to refine it, it's just super hard. And it is absolutely not there yet in doing that.
Something interesting, I think, is like you've been writing as you for a long time. That is definitely different depending on who you're talking to. And like one of the magical things about AI, in my opinion, is maybe people who have not been writers or even done that much writing outside of maybe some business emails or things like that, right? I'd love for you to dig into the process there. Like, how do you, like, if you've always had something like, oh, it'd be awesome to write a book or something, like, what is even the process that you'd recommend to get started there?
And we're talking about like non-AI world, just like how do you do this in general?
No, I'd say like
with AI.
I try to live in the AI world now because I think that's
we'll
where
live in the AI world.
Yeah,
we're in the AI world already. Why not live in it? In this question too. Look, here's the first thing I would say to you is the AI is not going to do the work for you. Like that is it. Like writing a book, you know, I think Tim Ferriss has a great quote about like when you should write a book. You should only write a book, and I'm going to paraphrase here, when it is more painful for you not to write a book than it is for you to write it. Like you need writing a book is hard. It takes a long time. And again, like the hardest part is the rewriting. So I'm going to quote Hemingway now. So Hemingway's famous quote about writing, one of his famous quotes is, all first drafts are shit. And this came from Hemingway. And like, there is a lot of truth in that. Like whenever you write, go like find the first draft of Star Wars online. Like, you know, and like you will read it and like, what is this guy? Like it's like, whoa, it's all over the place. Well, like Lucas rewrote that thing 20, 30, 40 times, got other opinions, other insights, all this. Like that is what actually happens in writing. So the first thing is like, make sure you want to do this. If you do and you're like, yeah, Mike, I'm up for it. Like I'm willing to do the work and all that. Look, what I would say is you just take this thing one step at a time. There are people who will outline everything up front. And they'll have, you know, let's say it's a fiction piece. They will know the twists and all that. And they'll just work on an outline for weeks or months or whatnot and then do that. There are other people who are just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to start the story and I'm going to see where the story takes me. And then there's nonfiction, all these other things in between. The one thing I would say, that doesn't change. That's how people have been writing books for hundreds of years now. The way that AI makes things different is it could actually help do many different tasks for you. It can help you project manage this thing to keep you on task. So, you know, you say, hey, I want to craft a 200-word book by the end of 2025. Realistically, what's the schedule for that? Like, what's that going to actually look like? Take me back step by step, month by month, and eventually you can even need to ask the AI to do week by week. It's going to make a project plan for you. You can then just start following that project plan. And like one of the things that AI actually does do pretty well is giving you feedback on this. You have to prompt it in the right way. But all the time, I write a lot of blog posts about AI stuff. I will write the whole first thing myself, but then I will feed it into Claude. I will feed it into ChatGPT. And I will say, give me feedback on this. I will have it fact check me. I will have it do all of those things. I would rather have a human editor do that, but I don't have the money or the time to have do this on my free newsletter. So like AI is wonderful for that. So like those are a couple ways, and I could get into way more detail, but like throughout the process, you know, like again, once you commit to doing that, the AI is going to help you throughout. You're still going to have to do the hard work of writing yourself.
So what I hear is feedback on what you've written, and I hear maybe research to make sure that the stuff that you're saying potentially lines up somewhere. I do actually want to step out of AI for a second, because I'd like to know what the building blocks are. When we say, okay, I've got this pain point. I need to give birth to this book. What are the steps to get to the point to where you even feel like as a human, now I've got this idea, I've got this structure, I'll start to write. Like, give us those like steps or that flow so I can kind of think about that in an AI assisted world.
Yeah, I mean, look, so all these things start with ideas. I have an Evernote file that I've been keeping for, I don't know, 15 years. And I probably have 100, 200 book ideas in there that I've just been keeping. And I'll sometimes look back over them and frankly just see what inspires me. Because again, this is a time commitment that you're doing. What I would say is like everybody out there, no matter what, you should have idea lists. Like, ideas are such a precious commodity, especially when they're your own ideas. You should be just be keeping them. It could be in a notepad file, wherever. Keep your ideas for businesses, for books, for whatever it is, because you never know when you're going to be inspired for whatever it might be. Say you have that. Say you start on the process. Again, there's no right or wrong way to do it. But what I would say is you just got to know you're going to have to just do it one part at a time. And you are going to hit a wall probably in the first week where you're like, what the heck am I doing? Like, you know, I think for most people, it's better to set a schedule. So say you already work full time, you're going to be writing this book, you got kids, you got all this other stuff. Do you know what? The schedule might actually have to be, you get up at 5 instead of 6 every morning, and you get 45 minutes of writing in there. Just, you know, to do it ahead of time, to just do it, and you just try and churn out 1,000 words. The one thing I would say is do not worry about quality. There's a concept, Safi Bacall, great writer, he's only written, I believe, one book. It was called, my God, it's totally escaping me. I actually interviewed him back when I was at PayPal for his book. It will come to me in a second because it's something I do recommend. In the book, he actually talks about the process that he went through a lot. And, you know, there is the kind of the writer's brain and the editor's brain. Don't let those two things, like when you're writing, just write. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how crappy it is. You will edit this stuff later. You just got to just barf all those ideas that you have in your brain down on a piece of paper, on a computer, and you just start churning through it again and again and again and just go through the reps. And again, after doing this for about a week, you're going to hit a point at some point where you're like, oh God, this is painful. This is awful. I don't know if I want to continue doing it. And frankly, that is the point where you do then need to decide, okay, maybe I just take a couple days off. Maybe I can push through it. Maybe whatever. There are so many 5,000, 10,000 out of 100,000 word manuscripts that exist out there where people started, they were ambitious, and it didn't work. And you know what? Sometimes that's fine. It's okay to just say you're going to abandon things sometime. And like, you need to make that call because maybe, you know what, as you're getting into it, maybe it wasn't as good of an idea. Writing forces you to think. That's why I do it. It forces you to get, no matter how much sense it makes in your brain, when you actually start to get it down on paper, you're like, oh, maybe this isn't as good. What I would say is just always with this stuff, never just abandon it right away, but just say, okay, I'm going to pause for a week. I'm going to come back in a week. I'm going to reread this. And then if I still have the passion I did before, then I'm going to jump right back into it. And that's the one piece of recommendation I give folks.
I was going to say, you'd mentioned that you get to a point where you sort of like hit a wall after you begin the process. Do you notice that being a general thing? Is it like, oh, okay, you know, generally after I get my outline done, that was so painful? Or is it like, you know, you've gotten a few chapters done and now you're just trying to like push your way, power your way through the rest of it?
And so I don't know how you got super soft there, Nico.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
My apologies for that. I think you were saying, like, just how do you push forward, like, with all the other chapters and things like that? Am I getting it right, or did I miss something there?
So I think you were saying that you get to a point at which you sort of hit a wall when you, like, right out of the starting gate. And I was wondering, is that a definable moment? And if so, what is one of your ways, or what are a couple of your ways of getting around that? Because my thoughts towards this and hitting walls is, okay, but the tool is also sort of your salvation in that you can use it for ideation to sort of help you bridge that gap or get through that.
Okay, I totally got that. Thank you. And I think the levels are better now. It just wasn't coming up to me. So Nico, your question is just about like hitting a wall. And this was something I was going through very recently. Long story short, I'm actually getting an MFA. I'm a weird tech guy who's actually getting an MFA in writing, if I didn't explain that in the beginning already. And one of the last classes I'm taking in my degree is actually a humor writing class. Super fun, exciting, like really, really enjoyable to do that. And so this is all short form stuff, like 500 to 700 word pieces I've been writing over the last few months and, you know, and getting published now. One of the things that I found out with like hitting that wall, and this is in a much more condensed time frame than the books that we're talking about, but I think it's still applicable. What I'll generally do is like I have, you know, hundreds of headlines for what might be funny articles, and I'll find something that like piques my interest, and then I will just start writing. And I call this the collective soul problem because whenever I can, I reference 1990s grunge metal bands and stuff like that whenever I can. So folks who are younger than me, there was this band in the 90s that was popular for a couple of years called Collective Soul. It was a very poppy rock band. One of the things that they basically did as a band, they would start playing a song. They would all bring in ideas. They would literally start playing it. And after 15 minutes, it wasn't clicking. They were done with it. Like that, like they were just done. They would just like, okay, we're never playing that. Like that is not going to be one of our actual songs. And with at least short form writing, like with humor stuff, that works really damn well. So I basically just give myself like 15 minutes and I just write for those 15 minutes. At the end of the 15 minutes, if I'm like, oh God, this is not funny at all. I don't know where this is going or whatever. Then I'm like, okay, this is just going in the trash bin. I'm just moving that to the side. If there's still something to it, I'm like, oh, I'm actually kind of cracking myself up here or whatever it might be. Like, it's the same kind of thing. So that's the short form version of your question, Nico. I think the longer form version of that is probably about a week or so seems right. Like, you know, 5 days spending an hour a day, so 5 hours or so. It's probably about the right time where you could at least give yourself a decent sense of like, okay, I'm going to, because if you only spend an hour or something like that, you didn't really push through it enough. So at least in my somewhat uninformed opinion, I would say about 5 hours is that equivalent amount of time for a full-fledged book that I would then take and just use that to kind of reevaluate.
Like, where do you see things, you know, like printing press obviously changed the way in which everybody is able to consume knowledge, right? And so now we have this tool where rather than consumption, it's more production, right? So like everybody is able to produce now. If they had a like you say, like a book idea, it's been rattling around in their brain for years, you know, all of a sudden, at least from my view, I feel like next year we're just going to see like millions and millions of books, just, you know, audiobooks and all sorts of stuff just thrown out there. Do you feel that that's going to be the case? Or do you think that it's more of a helpful tool for people who are already into writing?
Look, I would bring the analogy to like photography, to be completely honest. You know, let's go back 140 some odd years. You got like Matthew Grady in like New York, basically taking photographs of like the president and like, you know, there's like 10 people in the country who know how to use this new and emerging technology. Like there's almost nothing there. And things evolve and becomes cheaper and cheaper and more effective. And now we're at a point where, yes, everybody in the world has a camera on them at all times. And actually, I don't know the numbers. Are there more artists doing photography than before? Like, you know, has that world diminished and so forth? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's taken away from that. There are plenty of gallery pieces focused on photography and different art styles and all that. And it doesn't diminish it because you have 4 billion people around the globe who have a camera in their pockets and on their person at all times. And I think that's what we're going to see with like writing. Look, again, taking it far enough back, you know, most people were not literate to be able to write. You know, most people did not have books. Then, you know, as you talked about the printing press and all that, and then like, okay, maybe the town just has a Bible. Now it has a few other books and so forth. And then you're getting into pamphlets and all this stuff to today, where I'm sure the amount of content that is published on the internet in a given day would probably be more than you could possibly read in your lifetime. And, you know, on Amazon, there are millions and millions of books. It's not possible for any human to read all of that. So I think curation does come into play here. And I think that is more of what you're going to be able to see. The tools are there for anybody to do this. Just like, you know, again, to use the same device, like you can create movies. There are directors, Hollywood directors, that use iPhones to make movies. I don't see as many people really running out there and doing that, because you want, it's still work, it's still vision, it's still all of these things to do that. AI still sucks at making something from scratch. We can get into that. It is just not good. For folks like watching this, since 2022, I have been producing AI written books under the pen name Alex Irons and publishing them on Amazon. It's actually super easy to publish stuff on Amazon. And this is what Nico is getting to with this. So I have 14 books on Amazon today under this pen name. And I will tell you honestly that none of them are good. They're not really worth my time in reading them. And I'm doing my best. I'm not trying to make a bad book here, but I'm also just trying to let the AI go. The AI can help you. It doesn't go from 0 to 1 and create something of art that you're like, wow, this is worth 5 hours of my time or 10 hours of my time to sit down and actually read and spend time in this world that this machine created. We are not near that yet.
Well, I'll let you bring in the screen share whenever you feel is best. But I think it's interesting what you say there. If you've been doing it since 2022, you know, without trying to control too much, like it would be super interesting. And maybe as you talk us through this, like what have you seen, you know, get better like in that time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will say here, I'm going to go ahead and start to share right now, share a few different things with y'all. First, actually, I'll just show this. And actually, I do want to make really clear. So this up here, this is Alex Irons, kind of looks like me, not quite look like me, but, you know, close enough and all that. It's an AI version of me. I'm very clear that this is AI work. And I'm very clear it sucks. And I take zero money from this. So actually, all the money I take goes to charity. So we're going to actually create a book here. And these are all different things. The Mediocre Gatsby instead of The Great Gatsby was one that I had on there. So often I will have like topics that I'll bring in there, but then let AI run with it. And we could see this. This was the only one, the autobiography of George Santos. That was one where I kind of co-wrote with AI. It's fair, but you know. Still not something that I would really, you know, spend any time with. But that's that world. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into ChatGPT now, and we're going to share this with you all. So anybody who's spending the $20 a month for ChatGPT is going to be able to see this. And George, Chris, Nico, I'm going to just be prompting you all here for ideas and concepts here. So for anybody watching, we're just going to simulcast. This is literally how I would do it. So I'm using the ChatGPT 01 model, which I've never actually used before. Never used for writing a book. I've used it for many other things. I haven't actually done a full quote unquote book as part of this. And here's what my prompt is going to be. So apologies as I'm typing and writing out loud. And then in a second, I'm going to ask you gentlemen for thoughts and feedback. So,
and as he puts this prompt together, if people are looking to explore these tools more, like don't discount the fact that we're using 01 for the first time as opposed to 4.0, or, you know, Mike mentioned Claude earlier. Half of the interesting battle slash challenge is understanding which models do what and how and when to use them. And, you know, this is where we talk about on the show all the time. Like, George is able to create lots of great content because he's done the work to use different tools as like a, you know, a composer of sorts, right? Understanding all these different instruments to put this cool stuff together. It's not just trying to ram everything you want through one model because that's the only one you're used to using.
That's right. Yeah. And in all the books that Alex Irons has written, I've used different models, like I've used Bard, I've used like every time there, like it was almost always an excuse for me to use a new model and understand it by doing this. So you will see like what are the different, you know, the good and the bad of it. Let's get this thing running though. So this is a super simple prompt. Super simple. And again, intentionally, I'm not just saying write a book step one, because actually that ain't gonna work. Like even with the most advanced model that OpenAI has, it's not going to be able to just one shot write a book for you. So I'm actually starting with an outline, as many authors would actually do. But like let's give it a topic here. What do you guys want this book to be about? It could be about truly anything.
Let's make it about street racing.
Street racing.
Yeah. We're going to do a Dominic Toretto spinoff.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
So instead of the Fast and Furious, we're going to do the Slow and Something, but we'll have AI help us with that. So inner city street racing.
What, like street racing in nursing homes or something? Or
I mean, it could be like when Dominic Toretto is 90 years old. So like,
Yeah, let's do it.
Retired street racers.
AARP street racing.
I mean, we're going to have fun if we're going to do this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so the one thing I do want to point, and so I'm just going to hit, return here, and we're just going to see what it starts to think and come up with. So it's going to think for a while, and we'll see this whole progress as it's doing that. The one thing I do want to pull out is like already though, we are using some human creativity on top of this. So we're already cheating the model a little bit by saying, let's give it actually something that, hey, I would watch that movie. A bunch of like 80-year-old street, like that would be pretty damn awesome. So I think there's something here. So The Rust and Rubber, the Revolution of Senior Street Racers by Alex Irons. And then it's giving me a chapter outline of all of this. And so you could see it is given 13 chapters, blah, 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 and an endnote and an outline. So it has done a pretty decent job of this. Let's just...
Now, Mike, when you're doing this, do you usually circle back around and ask it like, hey, can you give me five more title ideas so that you can pick one that really like resonates with you?
Look, if I was doing this for myself, I would say, give me 50. Yes. Yes. So to answer your question, yes. Typically with this, I just let the AI choose whatever it deems to be best with that. I do give it some help for this, but yeah, like if I were actually using this for my own book, absolutely. All the time I will, when I'm writing in general, I will often put up little brackets around things that either I don't like in my writing, or I'm not sure if that's factually correct, or I have no idea what to say here. And then what? One of the things I will often do is run it through Claude, run it through ChatGPT and say, hey, give me some feedback. Give me five options for the four places in this piece where you see brackets. And then, you know, I will do that all the time. But I'm constantly asking for multiple options and then letting you choose the best one. That is the best way to do it. But anybody who's seeing this, you can see you got Walter Wheels Mendoza, street racer in the 70s, blah, blah, blah. Great, great. I'm going to do one more thing here, and then we're actually going to have it start writing. So I'm going to first say, because this is something that can really skew, I'm going to say define the writing style and method to create the piece and give me a list of the main characters with story arcs for each. And real simple prompt there, but what this is doing, and again, this is all stuff a writer would typically do if they're writing a fiction piece. The writing style, maybe it's a little bit, they know their writing style potentially, but this is forcing the AI to kind of define that and then actually giving some real character arcs, because otherwise it tends to just want to go from point A to point B and so forth.
And Mike, for those of us in the room that have no idea, you just typed in writing style and method like it was like, boom, of course you would do this.
Sorry,
what method? Like, what is method? And why is writing style and method? And how can we think of those as a rubrics that we might pick and choose for? If we can envision the outcome we want, this is a very foundational beginning piece that like helps direct in that way. Explain writing style and method a little bit deeper, please.
Yeah, and honestly, method wasn't a special word. I just kind of threw it out there, to be honest. But like what we're trying to do is it doesn't know, should it write like the news page of the Associated Press? Is that the style that we're looking for? Is it looking for like Aaron Sorkin style writing, like West Wing and Social Network, that kind of stuff? Or what is it? And so it's basically just trying to define how we want the AI to actually write this out. So yeah, so you didn't actually need to use the method, but writing style is what I'm actually trying to define here. And so you could see, so it's going to, and it said we're going to do close third person. It's going to primarily follow one character. It will have flashbacks. It's focusing on setting, all this other stuff. It just decided all this on its own. And again, in the method, in the process we're going through here, it's mostly pushing it off on the AI to do it itself. And then the character arcs is just so it has some logical way of doing that. So then what I'm going to then say is, given everything, if I could press spell, everything you have laid out already, start writing this book. And so I'm going to actually say specifically, take your time, quality is greater than quantity. Focus on making it a memorable experience for the readers. Do the first act now and adjust the outline if necessary. So all of this that I had written here was basically to tell it, write this book, take it slow, make it interesting, do what you said, but also don't fear from straying from the outline if it's better to do it later. You know, a better way to do this would be to actually say, okay, given what you just said, now redo the outline. okay, now redo the characters. It is the whole process of writing and rewriting that humans go through. The more you do of that, the better it's actually going to be. But we're just going to kind of do this in sort of one shots.
When you hit that arrow, I do have a question because words matter. And I would have thought you would use the word chapter, but you use the word act. Is it matter? Talk to me about act versus chapter when you're doing this prompting.
Yeah. So typical story is going to be three acts. Like, it's just like how we, if anybody has ever done Joseph Conrad and, you know, a man with 1,000 faces and all this, like the typical Western fiction story is going to be something that is done in three acts. So even though they did 12 chapters, a better way would have been actually to say, hey, let's do it chapter by chapter. I'm just moving along a little bit faster here. Instead of doing the prompt 12 times, because I think it gave us 12 chapters initially, I'm actually saying, okay, take the first 3 or 4 chapters, whatever you define as the first act, and go with that. So yes, the more times you do this, the more outputs you give it, the better the quality is going to be. So a long time since the finish line, it started to write chapter 1. It gets you into chapter 2 here. And I think, oh yeah, it's still writing. And it's into chapter 4 now. It's still going. And it's going.
If you wouldn't have maybe done some of those foundational things like writing guidelines and a voice and tone, what are we accustomed to seeing, or what are you accustomed, when you say AI just wants to go from A to B, what do you see happening when you don't set some of those foundational aspects?
AI is lazy. Like, that's the honest truth. AI is lazy, just like they learn from us. And so often what AI will do is it will just try to go to the path of least resistance. It won't always look back and say like, oh, let's plant a seed here in chapter 1 that we're going to revisit in chapter 11. These are the things that, like, and you know, in better pieces of written work we will often do. And we will often expect that as readers. The AI itself, though, it's just going to move next piece, one piece to the next, very matter of fact. And frankly, it's going to get less creative as it goes through. Like, I have found, like, it can add, like, it could start off actually, oh, this seems like an interesting story. But by the third chapter, it's like, oh God, it is just like rubber stamping. It's just finding a formula and like the most boring average formula you could find. There's no surprise, no nuance.
Check in the box.
So, Mike, now, have you found ways that you battle against that?
Yeah. So let's do one more prompt here. Is it done right? Is it done? Yes. So how many chapters did it do here? It went up to chapter 5. I'm kind of surprised by that. Good. But this is getting to your point, George. I want even more excitement, intrigue, and elderly humor.
So obviously this is because we're writing a fictional book, but Mike, do you think this would work too if this was like words like education for the reader, like go from 101 to 102, like things like that? You know what I'm asking there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the more colorful you are in your language, the more colorful the AI is going to be in turn. I think you are going to be able to see that there is, again, I do not like to use authors' actual names. Like, but I've just been reading the latest or listening to the latest Malcolm Gladwell book. But like, think about his style. You know, I mean, it's very vivid descriptions, a lot of detail in it. You know, I mean, he was working for the New Yorker. He has like just these vivid stories that he tells. And so like to say, hey, I want you to explain how deodorant works in this chapter of this book. And I want you to give just a vivid story about the origins of the creation of deodorant and what is the most amusing factual tale. Now, the more that you push it in nonfiction, I will say the more likely it is going to just completely make stuff up. So like that is the one. So I have not done any nonfiction books this way. In part because I don't want to like just put junk in the world that is completely made up that I don't want to fact check myself. Fiction, you don't have to worry about that. But in nonfiction, yeah, you got to watch out for that much more. But it's not to say you can't do it there. So for folks watching this, again, what I'm going to do is I will do this. I'm going to copy and paste. And I think within 24 hours, this will be live on Amazon. We will do that. But I actually want to show you all how to make the cover. Is that worthwhile to do that? Like, we could do
real
quick.
Yeah, absolutely. While you're doing the cover, I do want to, hopefully we have time to swing back around too. Like I heard, and I could be totally wrong, that Amazon is getting to the point where they're like blocking AI content. Is there a way that you get around it being flagged for AI content versus human content?
So it's funny, when I started doing this, they didn't care at all. But like, you know, like since then, for anything that you actually upload into Amazon, you do have to say if there's AI content or not. And so I do, and I say it's 100% AI written. I guarantee that downgrades it in the algorithm. So Grammarly has a free AI detection software that seems decent out there that people can use. I've used it on content I know is AI written and I know is human written. And it seems to be directionally correct. I'm sure Amazon's using something like that on their side to actually detect it. So if you are doing an AI book and it's not actually, and you're saying it's not AI written, I think they will detect it and they'll probably punish you more is the probably the honest answer to that. So here, let's do a quick book cover for you all. So let me just share one more time. And I'm going to use two tools here. I'm going to use Grok's image generation tool, and I will actually use the image generation tool called Midjourney, which is located in Discord. So let me just share again. Can I share more than one tab of my browser here? Let's see.
And what I love doing in cases like this, when you already have like a bank of content to work from, even if that place can't make the image for you, like Claude can't make images, I'm usually asking it to create the prompts about the thing that we've been talking about so that I can go make an image with it, you know, very quickly in the other tools.
Absolutely. Yes. And so I could ask ChatGPT right now and I could actually say, hey, give me something that would blah, 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 blah. I could absolutely do that and probably give me a better prompt. But I'm just going to use this right now just so folks can see it. So in the bottom there, you can see what I'm writing, hopefully. So I'm saying book cover for Rust and Rubber, and I shorten it because it's not going to be able to get all the words right if I give it too long of a title, and we'll get to that in just a second. Rust and Rubber, a book about elderly street racing. Okay, I'm just going to make it real simple. Oh, and actually, one thing I'm going to do, you could do this with Midjourney. I'm going to change the aspect ratio. So 9 to 16, I think, is the standard aspect ratio for books usually. And let's just let that run. And I'm going to put the same prompt into Grok. Oh, no, I didn't copy it. Hold on a second. I can't do the aspect ratio in there, but there's other magic we can do. Let's see what it does. Okay, so we got both of these things running. We'll see which one comes through first. Okay. So let me blow this up. We can see this. No. Wait, we lost it. Hold on, open in browser. Oh, why is it not doing it? Okay, I don't know why it's not doing it, but can folks see it's a little bit small? Apologies for that. But you can see the thumbnails here. So I don't know, fair book covers. It did not actually put the title on it. So I'm just going to change this real quickly. And you can also use Canva or something like that. I've done that as well, especially in the days before it was able to generate words.
If you blow up that second one, I think it put it in the signage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, actually, what does that actually say on the signage? Why will it not let this thing get bigger for me?
I kind of figured it hadn't fully rendered yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There it is. Yeah, you're right. Actually, you're absolutely right. If I zoom in here, it does say Rust and Rubber. It says Rust and Rubber here on this one. Yeah, you can. So, so again, you could use Canva. You could use whatever tool. Cover for a book titled Rust and Rubber featuring elderly racers. So I just added the word title in there. I'm not even going to worry about the aspect ratio. Let's see. And let's see what Grok did. Grok, I don't know. So it's giving people in old cars. This does not look anything like a book cover, I will say. And like, you just got to play around with it. This guy looks pretty awesome. Like, maybe there is something you could work with for this one here. But again, this is what I would do. And again, here we go. We at least got one. Looks more like an album cover to me than a book cover, but we'll go with it. Yeah. So yeah, upper left there, you know, that's something, and you can play with styles and things like that as part of it. But yeah, and that's how I would then do that book cover. And look, that's it. You just kind of put these things together, put it in a file, and upload it into pretty much in no time can upload something like that into Amazon. So Rust and Rubber will be live in 24 hours. And if anybody wants it, again, I take no money. I will try and make it, I think I can make it free for like the first week. So if anybody wants to download and read it, like I'm pretty sure I can make it just totally free for anybody. I think you just have to have an Amazon account. It ain't taking John Grisham's job anytime soon, but down the road, who knows? Who knows?
Well, I know if I had a teacher drop that assignment on me at this moment, I'd definitely be using AI to create that book report. So
yeah. And look, the shorter the form, the better it is, I will say. Like longer form stuff like this is where it gets tough. Like in over 10,000 words, it starts to fall apart at certain pieces. And I'm sure everyone will start to see that if they actually just skim through it. But we'll make it free for all your listeners. So at least for a week here, I think I'm able to do that.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you showing us that.
It was fun.
What's your one takeaway for those out there that have had a book rattling around forever in their heads?
Just play with the tools. Experiment. That's it. Just honestly, all this stuff, you hear people talk about it, you do whatever, just figure it out yourself. Like, you don't need to be an engineer to use these tools. You just need to have access to a computer. Some of them you don't even need $20 a month for. You just like literally can use the free version, figure it out. Just spend a couple hours, figure it out yourself. You know, if you want to publish a book that no one's ever going to read just to figure out, well, what's it like to publish a book? And just don't do it under your own name and have fun. Figure it out. So that's what I would say. Just experiment. Really embrace that inner child.
Well said. You don't need to be an engineer. You don't need to be a writer. You don't need to be anything special at all to start diving into these tools and start learning. Aside from checking out Amazon tomorrow to find this book, if people want to follow along with what you're doing and what you're up to, where should they go?
Absolutely. Probably LinkedIn or Medium are the best places. I write on both platforms, same stuff. So follow whatever's more convenient. Just look for the last name Tedasco. And I have a newsletter. It's totally free. It's just me musing about AI stuff. So, you know, follow me there. And hopefully there might be some insights you'll be able to take into your work or personal life from the stuff I write about.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Look forward to catching the book later this week. And we hope everybody has an awesome week out there. Have a good one.
That's a wrap for this episode of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.